You're a very fashionable man. Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm going to try something new, right? So usually when I do a show, I record, like, we go live, and then afterwards I record, like, my sponsory bits. And it's such a hassle because I have to, like, come in here, do it, like, download this file, put it into the other file, upload it, whatever. So I'm just going to do it now. So if you've never seen a man sell his soul before, Facundo, you're about to witness it.
Okay, cheers to that then.
What's that?
Nothing. Just
brandy.
Yes, would be a big glass of grand.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, Facundo's drinking problem exposed live on here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that we're going to expose many problems today, Pedro. Mine and yours.
We might, yeah. I don't have any problems. One of the problems that I don't have anymore, actually, is pull-ups, because I have, look, I have frog grips.
Yeah,
I mean, they're the J Crouch signature ones.
You have behind you?
Yeah, no, that was a gift. That's not sponsored.
So let's go back to frog then.
The frog grips, you don't need chalk. So you're not supposed to put chalk on the grips on the bar. You're supposed to clean the bar if you're using them. They're supposed to be crazy.
Have you used them very often?
No, because it's -1 here, like, all the time for the last, since I got them, it's been, and all my stuff is outside. So it's like, I'll just wait. Apparently it's getting warm at the weekend.
Okay, so maybe by June, yeah, you can give really an honest review on the product.
I'll bring them to Miami and I'll try them there because it'll be warm there. And Gowad, you know Thibaut, don't you, from Gowad?
Yes, I do though, of course.
Yeah, he's a good guy. They are doing the last of their cyber discounts. So it's like 30% off if you download the app and you can get a free trial there. Fitter are doing for November or for December, they're doing like, they did a Black Friday deal, but it was like giving back time to coaches and people to explain how to use the app and how to like monetize their time better and make better use of their time. Self-made training program, including Mayhem, is the best training program out there. That's Taylor Self. D8 Fitness, if you're in Ireland, you can go there. D8Fitness.com, and they have everything, grips, bands, plates, bars, chalk, like food, drinks, everything. And the service equipment and stuff. If you go to join.whoop.com/CPW, you can get a discount and a free band and a free month, I think. And they're also doing this, like, fuck, maybe I'm not supposed to say this yet. Oh, fuck it. They're
it
doing like
know the line of your sponsors, I'm telling you.
You know the Spotify Wrapped thing, you know, like where it tells you your year, like this is the song you listen to most, and this is apparently Whoop are doing that. So it's like your year wrapped, but like better than Spotify because it's Whoop, so obviously it's better. But it's gonna tell you like all your trends and shit. And if you go to lskd.co and use CPW LSKD, you can get a discount there. And if you go to BillFratleys.com and use CPW15, you can get a discount there. Done. That's okay. Just saved me half an hour tomorrow because I always get them fucked up when I'm...
Do guests receive anything for free out of these brands, or I'm just listening to something for free?
technically, they pay for my time to be here, so you get me for free because they've paid for me to be here. I know that's counterintuitive because you're the guest, so I should be maybe paying you, but that's just the way it works.
Good enough. Don't worry. LSKD can send me a t-shirt or something. I'll be glad.
Yeah. Someone asked me the other day, they were like, oh, you have so many sponsors. They must make so much money off. I was like, no, they all pay me a really small amount. That's why I have so many of them. It's like, yeah, otherwise it's like a false economy.
You have good sponsors. And I mean, you're doing a great show. I was going to say job, but I'm going to say show.
I have a great hobby.
So I mean, CrossFit is a hobby for many of us still. I mean, not maybe for me anymore, but it used to be a hobby. So, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever searched yourself on Reddit or Google or anything?
I did, but back in the day.
Yeah.
I don't have any interest anymore of knowing anything about me anymore.
Did you have like a scarring experience that put you off?
No. It's just that I have a bit of a problem with podcasts and my pictures seeing myself. You know, I have never watched any of the incredible Mayhem material that is shot. You know, Scott and Bennett and Brian and Ben and Frank, they do great, great material at our YouTube channel. And I don't think that
I've never watched any of it.
maybe bits here and there, but every time that my voice shows, I'm just advancing. I mean, I would love to sound more like, "Hey Pedro, how are you? Have a good day." And I hear
that's,
myself.
That's like Mexican chihuahua. Facundo, isn't it? That's Mexican Facundo.
I don't know, whatever it takes. I would love to have that voice instead of this kind of papagay or whatever, like weird bird voice that I have. That's what it is.
Wow. I think, to be honest, I think what happens, isn't there some kind of phenomenon or some kind of thing where you hear your own voice echoed, it, like your skull makes your voice sound deeper. So then when you hear your voice back, it's higher than you always hear it in your head. So you're like, "Oh fuck, this is awful."
No, I know that I have a very high pitched voice, and because
I really don't think you do.
Well, so you know, in French, everything is very high pitched, even if you have a very like center or a lower tessitura, like lower sounding voice. French always makes you sound very.
It's kind of complainy. It's kind of a complaining.
Ça va, mon cœur? Oui, oui, oui.
Yeah.
No, and which is one of the languages that I speak at here at home with my daughter. If you go to German, it's going to be, "Nah, forget it, dear. That's okay, my dear." So I don't know. It's just it's what it is. Let's.
Yeah.
It's what the good thing is that I'm going to turn. I'm getting older, and with getting older, you learn to accept yourself, you know, flaws and all. And not that I'm going to be super happy watching any video where I'm there, but I'm okay. That's what it is. I mean,
what you stopped yourself there mid sentence. You're going to be turning what?
I'm going to be turning many years again. I just don't want to count them anymore. But yeah,
I was in. So I'm a teacher, and I was in class the other day, and it's my daughter's birthday the same day that it's my birthday, and she had her party. Like her fourth birthday party Saturday, because our actual birthday is the 21st of December, and it's just too close to Christmas. Everyone's like, "Fuck that, I'm not going to do a child's birthday party." So we had it early. And the kids, tell me about it growing up. Like, that's my excuse. That is close to Christmas. That's why nobody ever came. But the kids in class, I told them that, like, "Oh, my daughter's birthday party." And they said, "Oh, her birthday is the same as yours. Happy birthday." And I was like, no, my birthday is actually, like, it's actually the 21st of December. So, and they said, like, "What age are you?" And it took me, honestly, like way too long. It took me about 4 minutes to answer, where I was like, "All right, what age was I when Sloan was born?" And then add 4 to that, and I will be that age. And for about 4 days, I thought I was turning 34. And then the other day, my wife was like, "No, I'm sorry, you're turning 35, not 34. And I was like, "Oh, I just lost a year of my life."
Well, it's what happens. I mean, when I turned last year 40, this year, 47, I thought I was turning 48, because when I turned 46, a few months after that, I started saying to everybody that I was 47 just to get used to the fact that I was going to be 47 soon. So I really got confused, and I was rather happy when I found out that I was turning 47, not 48.
Yeah.
But anyways, actually, I'm very sorry for you, because it's not about who comes to your birthday party. It's that you get one present, one gift.
That is
Christmas and your birthday.
Yeah, that was when Sloan was born. That was me and my wife saying, or my wife and I's thing, was that, like, that'll never happen. It's always like separate, because that used to happen to me. I'd either get nothing on my birthday and it'd be like, "Oh, but Christmas," or else I'd get something on my birthday and they'd say, "Now this is your birthday and Christmas." So it's, either way, you're getting fucked. Like, you're
really,
you know,
bad,
you're not
presents, but your little small things that you need one or a present in two parts. You know, this is the part one for your present. The next part,
you get the game of the PlayStation. You get the box of the PlayStation game for your birthday and the disc for Christmas.
Or the cable.
Yeah, Dan Guerrero, like, really playing favorites. So I love your voice. That's for you. Pedro sticking to the pale team. Fuck you, Dan. Like, what do you want me to do? I needed 2, like, kettles of water to get rid of the ice on the car this morning. So, yeah, I'm pale. Fuck you, man. I'm pale. So you don't watch anything. It's interesting. I was talking to Tim Paulson the other day. He does that Death by on Talking Elites page. And he said he always watches himself back because he doesn't want to hear the filler, like, he wants to make sure he's not using fillers, or he's not, like, saying something stupid, or, you know, like,
yeah,
saying the wrong thing or wasting words.
That I'm used to.
But I was like, I have never listened back to anything that I've ever made, like, ever. So from day one, it was like do not want to hear my own voice back. Do not want to hear anything. Like, just post it. Who gives a fuck? But yeah, I can't. I'm the same as you. I can't. I hate the sound of my own voice, which is hilarious considering what I do. But I hate the sound of my own voice. I have to listen to myself talk all day, every day, like at school, here, with my kids. And I'm just constantly like, hate it. Can't stand it.
It happened to me something really terrible once, and actually that was maybe the beginning of the end of it. I was, as you know, I used to work for the European Parliament for many years, and in a committee meeting, like assistants, I was a political assistant, we are there to support the congressmen, the parliamentarians, the MEPs, and my MEP was late, and so when his moment came, everybody was like, where is him, where is he, and I had to turn, you know, his mic on and said, oh, Mr. X is going to be here in 2 minutes. And it was kind of a 1 second delayed. And when I start talking, I heard myself. And I was one of the most embarrassing things I ever happened to me. So anyway, thank you very much for all the love messages regarding our voice, or my voice in this case, but it will take a lot to convince me.
Yeah, it's like those comments are trying to undo years of psychological damage that you've done to yourself.
But as I said, I'm 47, so you know it takes a lot of time to undo 47 years.
Did you do psychology? Was that what you did straight out of school or whatever? You went straight and did psychology.
I did music. I studied music for a little bit, which is my big passion in life after my family. I was going to make a bad joke, but I better continue. And after that, I started psychology in Buenos Aires, in the University of Buenos Aires. Then when my family moves to Germany, I continued in Strasbourg. But then when I finished that, I never worked as such. I did many, many years, and I realized that I wanted to do something else.
But like you say, it never worked out, but surely it's been useful in this, like in coaching. And
yeah, it's very useful, and well, at least I guess, I hope so. I mean, I believe it is. I hope that it really is. Yes, it's, I think that the way that I take my job, or that I do my job, is very closely entangled with a lot of psychological aspects of coaching.
Is there like a list? Are you just like a mayhem coach, or is there like a list of athletes that you would consider, I am his coach, I am her coach, I am his coach? You know what I mean? Are you like an umbrella coach, or do you have specific people?
No. I mean, there are coaches that follow the generic programming of Mayhem, that is amazing, Mayhem Compete. And there are other athletes that have like very individualized programming. And we are many coaches at Mayhem. They're great, great coaches: Jake Foster, Dom D'Agostino, Inga, Mike McKellar, a lot of great coaches. And each of us will take some athletes under our umbrella, and we give one-on-one coaching to those. Yeah.
So who are yours? Who would you say are your athletes?
I mean, mine. They have I stamped my name on their bicep.
You branded their ass more like it. Go on.
No, I think that they are Mayhem athletes, because I will tell you who I particularly work with, but I think that they are Mayhem athletes, and we, you know, because we share a lot of stuff. But I do the programming for Roman, for Lazar, for Karin Frey, for Jorge Fernandez, for Agustin Richelme, for many other athletes. These are the people that I program individually every single day.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I know Jake Foster both with Guy and with Paige, Dom D'Agostino with Emma Carey, and Nate Ackerman. So we divide ourselves, otherwise it would be really impossible. I mean, already a couple can you know.
Is there a line, do you think? Is there like, so say if someone comes to you, is it that they need to be a certain, so say like Jorge comes and says, hey, I want to work with you. And you're like, all right, this is Jorge. Like, he's got huge potential. No problem. If it was someone else, would you be like, oh man, I've got too many? Like, is there like does the line shift depending on who it is that comes?
Yes and no. It doesn't depend on who that person is. It depends mostly on the level, because when you coach a certain amount of athletes or the same level, you know, your head is at that level of fitness. So you build stuff even individually, but you know a certain sense of structure of adaptation or stimulus that you want to present. If you coach Lazar and then you also have someone who can do double unders, it's a lot of time to, you know, to move into that kind of very high skill athlete as Lazar, mm-hmm. and someone who needs different progressions to get their double under. So I think that for me, the best use of my time on the athlete's time is that I try to coach athletes of the same level.
But is it not hard? Like, so say if you took on an athlete that, say if you took on me,
sorry, I just came naturally.
If your whole life fell apart and you just took me on, but like there's so much room for progression for me that like this, like the smallest little change for me is going to like leaps and bounds. Like you could be like, oh my God, it's so obvious, do this, and it'll bring me on leaps and bounds for like technique stuff or skill stuff, whatever. Whereas when you get to someone who's at like Jorge's level and it's like he's like 98.98% there, so then surely it's like twisting the dial that last little bit. Is that not the hardest bit to, does that not take the most focus, where you have to be like, okay, he's nailing that, and then you have to spot the one thing that's holding him back in his conditioning, or the one thing that's holding him back in his lifting or whatever?
Yes, that is true, but my time is invested on those things, on those little things, and not into the time that I would need to create the adaptations that you need in order to become a CrossFit athlete.
Yeah.
It's most on the field of things that I do that is the difference. But I don't get it wrong. I would love to. I work for many years with athletes that were very, very unknown, and they are now games athletes. So I feel that I had very good luck into finding people with potential and helping them explore that, like, you know, putting that into their use to go to wherever they want to go. But I think that at the moment I have a big responsibility with the athletes that I have the chance to coach. So I need to concentrate on them.
Is Emma Carey a mayhem athlete then, or is she a Dom athlete and he's a mayhem coach?
No, all of it. Emma trains at Mayhem, lives in Cookeville, is being trained by a mayhem coach, wears a mayhem t-shirt. She's a mayhem athlete.
So she's got the brand.
She's a great athlete. I saw her a couple of times, of course, but I actually met her and I saw her from very close performing out at Rogue, and I was very, very impressed at that age, not just the fitness, but the level of, you know, the competitive mindset she has.
Is she intense? Like, so I've spoken to her on here, and that's my only engagement with her, or seeing her on like an interview, but it's always an interview like straight after a workout. So like, you know, adrenaline is high, like stress is high, whatever. Like, is she intense? Like, does she kind of let it dip and ebb and flow and stuff? Or is she that level of intensity all the time?
No, I only saw her after she became a mayhem athlete at Rogue. So I haven't been in Cookeville ever since she moved actually there. Hmm. But I think that she's a girl that is on a mission and of course has moments of, you know, work and adapt herself, which has her mood for that, and moments where she performs and she wants to compete and to win, and she puts her mindset on that. So I think that athletes are very, you know, one of the athletes that is this, not I was going to say the sweetest, but the calmer is Guy. Guy's a guy that at Mayhem, he's a very, very slow paced, you know, very, very quiet guy. He comes, put his music, has his coffee, looks at what everybody else is doing, you know, then starts moving and warming up. And it's not that this very strong image that you see in competition. He's really very sweet guy.
I think this is Brian's first time donating and asking a question, because he donated and then asked a question. So I'm just going to give him his dues. Is Roman still working with Chris Hinshaw, and does he do Zone 2 work?
And no, Roman is not working with Hinshaw at the moment. And Roman does not do almost any Zone 2 work.
Is that just because he has, like, he doesn't need to?
I think we concentrate on different things for Roman. Yeah, I mean, he also, everybody needs to keep their aerobic capacity at the level of a games champ, but there are other priorities.
Do you ever, like, doubt yourself? Are you kind of gone past that stage, or do you ever doubt, like, you know, if an athlete leaves, or if an athlete that you used to work with suddenly does really well with someone else, or if you're working with an athlete and they leave, or if Mayhem doesn't do as well at the games, as if all the athletes don't perform as well as maybe you're expecting them to perform, or if, you know, those kind of things, like, do you sit back and be like, shit, like, did I do something wrong? Or are you kind of gone beyond that, and you know it's just the ebb and flow of the sport, and that the programming matters more, and etc., like the competition programming, I mean?
Is there going to be a part B to this question?
Well, we'll see what you say for part A.
Because well, of course, I evaluate myself and the work that has been done after a competition both ways. If the goal has been achieved, or, you know, the performance was not what we expected, for sure. And also, it's a very common part of the conversation that I have with my athletes. So yes, for sure. And I do that. Is that the good answer you wanted?
When does that happen? Does that come when you're lying in bed at night, like about to fall asleep, and you're like, fuck, what if Roman needs to do this, that, or the other? Or what if, like, that missed lift earlier on affects Lazar's confidence? Or is it more so like in August when you reflect on the year? Is that, like, can you allow yourself between February and August to think like that? Do you have to just block it out until the games are over?
In August, you're too late. It's like, it's going to be a nightmare, not a dream. Yes. The thing is that one of the goals that I have with my athletes is that they have also a very important saying on the program. It's not something that I build on myself, you know, in my room, and then I send, and this is, guys, you need to do this, and this is the last word, and you're going to do it as I say it. And, you know, I need to hear my athletes and see where they are. And also, very often I said, well, is there things that you feel that we should be doing that we are not doing? And, you know, and vice versa, I think that you are not doing enough this or that. So it's never a 100% responsibility on me. So because of the nature of the relation we have. But I do take, of course, a big shot if the job has not been done. Or as expected, or as we worked for. I mean,
Cave, have you seen Cave before? Every time I pull up his picture, it just makes me laugh. Pick a number between 1 and 5, 3. You always go 3 if it's between 1 and 5, and 7 if it's between 1 and 10. I don't know why. And then there was someone else. Dan said, there's no Dave Castro we can review this week. Is it a coincidence? No, he actually texted me earlier on and said he's going to wait until this is over. And then, because he doesn't want to detract.
He wanted this news from me, right? He wanted to see what I would say here.
He's going to respond to this. He's going to say, well, I just finished watching Facundo.
But I like, sorry, I have to say something. I like Dave Castro very much. And I tell you, one of the moments that I felt, oh man, I'm very happy or very proud or whatever, is the first year that I coached, that I was a coach of the Mayhem Freedom Team. It was 2019. Think, and he came to the, you know, to the camping grounds at the back of the games. It was already in Madison, and I realized that he was talking to someone who was next to him, and he came to me and said, "Great job, Facundo, you did great." And I said, "Oh, he knows my name and he even pronounced it correctly." You know, it was like, I mean, I like this guy so much. But I think it was very elegant, and I felt very, very, you know, very proud. So Dave Castro, if you are there listening, thank you very much for that moment. I still treasure it.
Yeah. He's never done that with me. So you can buy memberships, right? On this, and it's like it's kind of like Patreon. But every show that I do, look at this, like Cave just buys, oh, that's why he's asking between 1 and 5. So he's after buying 3. So he can gift someone else membership. So Cave is paying, but then they get the perks, which
I think it's been a week very challenged with this idea of paying and news and patrons and all of that, right?
Yeah. I just need to make bank. So if it's a collaborative approach, then I'm curious, Roman's off season this year looks very different from Roman's off season last year, like so far, in that there seems to be a lot more, how would you describe it? Like making hay, you know, like things are really good. Let's travel. Let's do some workshops. Let's get around. The sun is shining. Let's make the most of it. Is that accurate, or am I misremembering last year?
Well, this off season has been beset by a food an accident. So he didn't have the same capacity of training as he would have done if we'd have been fully healthy. And we were very careful during the month of September, October, and part of August, September, October, and part of August, September, and part of October, to be as clever as we could, because he did say that he wanted to do Rogue, that he was going to do it no matter what.
Do you push back against that? Like, do you say, like, I really don't think that's a good idea? Because obviously, like, I mean, it turned out okay, but like, it probably wasn't a good idea, really.
Well, no, it was not a good idea, and it turned out to be a great idea, because, you know, he finished third and he got a lot of money out of it. But there was a big risk, of course. And Roman is it's a guy that listens a lot, you know. We have to do a lot of negotiation with between us to move forward into program and to training sometimes. But having said that, he's very responsible, and once we agreed on something, he is 100% in for that.
Do you have to pull the reins then? Is that what you mean? Like, even day to day, are you like, no, you're just doing what's on the page? Like, you're not.
No. But sometimes, I really don't like to talk very much about them, because, but there are moments in which maybe, you know, he's a day that is not 100% for him, and he has an extremely challenging training day ahead. And, you know, how are we going to decide on what is going to be done that day? And so he calls and I call back, and, you know, we text and then we text back and so on. It's just that. But it's a great person to work with. I'm very happy.
Do you speak Russian?
No.
Are you learning any?
Cantonese Chinese?
No, but I don't coach a fucking Chinese athlete, for God's sake.
No, but you have a frog thing on your hand. No, I don't speak. We do have the lag, and I need to hide at her, of Rosa. Is, not just the person who translates for Roman, but the person who made it possible. Rosa and her husband, to make it possible for Roman to make it to the States. And she's the official translator and mother of Roman. And I think I shouldn't say that, I think that they clash much more than I clash with Roman.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when Roman moved to the States, he moved.
What's the name of the gym? It's a man's Pat's name, Jim. Pat's gym. Yeah.
It's a beautiful gym, and Rosa and her husband had a beautiful house in Madison, actually. So it's very handy. It was very handy to have them around for those years. And when Roman finally made it to come to the States, he stayed at her place for many months, actually. So they became very, very close. And Rosa is, you know, she has her own temper, strong temper. Yeah, it's fun to see them both. Of course, I don't know what they talk about, but I know that they are.
they talk about you. They're exclusively talking about you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No.
Last year, I'm just curious about him because last year he obviously got an exemption from traveling home for semifinals, which, like on paper, like made it hard. You could argue made it harder for himself because he had to qualify in a stronger field than he would have had he gone home. So, you know, maybe didn't give himself an advantage, but he certainly changed the look of his season by not having to go back to Asia for the semifinals. And then this year, like, I mean, he can't really play that card this year now because he's been to, like, he was in Korea, wasn't he? Or somewhere recently doing a workshop.
A seminar, yeah.
Yeah, and he's in Dubai now. Like, he's obviously showing, like, hey, I can even come back, no problem. So if CrossFit say you have to go, like, he can't really turn around and say, oh, actually, suddenly it's changed again. I can't, can he?
Well, now he's been living in the States and he has his paper. So I'm guessing that CrossFit takes that into consideration, like with Katrin and with many other athletes who actually are not living in their other place, which is the right thing to do, I think. So, I mean, yeah. I'm not sure how many spots is East going to get. I know that Asia gets two spots. Last year, I think it was 11 or 12, and Roman made it fourth. I mean, with a lot of respect, I would say that I wouldn't be worried that Roman makes it to the games, whether the East or in Asia.
I don't think he gives a fuck either way. Like, he strikes me as the type of guy that would be like almost prefer to have a harder job to get there rather than just coast in. Like, it doesn't seem like he's daunted by a challenge.
I know that Roman cares for the games, everything that is around it. It's not the games for him. I mean, he could have finished 11th at the semifinal, but if he finished first, second, third of the games, that's what counts for him.
He went to Dubai like straight after the games, like pretty much, or the Middle East anyway. Like straight
after the games, he went to Dubai, yes, because in order to train properly that last month, his wife and leave his son, they went to Russia. So after the games, they would have holidays together in Dubai.
Oh, like, so like no distractions, just your exactly. Head down.
He said, I need, and I came to Cookville to be with him, and it was it was a good week of work.
Yeah. Allegra said, no question for Facundo, but two good people. She must be talking about Roman and Rosa.
Roman has a good voice. Roman does have a good voice. Thank you. I like the name Allegra.
Yes, a lovely name.
So, somebody says that these are hard questions. These are hard questions or...
Oh, that's just sometimes Ramler just likes to type things I don't know if he actually means...
Barbara's been never invited me to any podcast or any kind of note or article on Mayhem or me. So
who?
Barbara's been. And I like him very much.
I think he's just after joining late because we kind of covered that, didn't we? Will he apply for an exemption? He probably will because he has papers. So if that's if it's the same rule as last year, he'd probably just stay where he is.
I have to be honest, I have not talked to him about it. I'm going to see him tomorrow. After tomorrow, and this is one of the things that we are going to talk about.
Are you going to Dubai?
I'm going to Dubai tomorrow.
Wow. And you have him, and Lazar's there as well, right?
Lazar's there as well. Jorge's there as well. Karin Frey is there as well. Uldis is there as well. An athlete that has joined the Mayhem family that is going to be announced there from the UK is there as well. Pedro, you better. And let me just see. I don't want to forget anyone. I think Luisa Marquez is getting a card, a Brazilian girl, also from our Mayhem family.
Is the athlete from the UK currently living in the UK?
Yes.
Oh, fuck. I thought I knew who it was, and now I'm wrong.
Yes. I like the question of, do you ever doubt yourself? Of course, Dan. I heard the story. Not story. I watched a documentary the other day on a very famous Hollywood actress who was a good friend of, you know, Marilyn Monroe. You know who she is, right?
Yeah.
And apparently, Marilyn Monroe used to say very, very often, "I hope that today is not the day where I wake up and everybody realizes that I'm a fake, that I'm actually no one, just a blonde girl." And yes, of course, this I think that doubt is part of the way we perceive and evaluate ourselves. It would be terrible if we would be really thinking that everything we do is great.
Yeah, I think there's very few people in any kind of line of work who are solely confident on like what they're doing, like laser focused confidence of like no doubts ever. Like, I don't think it exists.
Actually, in our sport, because it's unknown, well, we're going to be tested and we're going to prepare what we need to, you know, to guide our athletes to do. It's still unknown to us, so it's, you know, it would be very silly to say, yes, I have the answer to all of these questions now.
I am just flat out.
I know what you're doing. I thought that you have all your questions prepared and it's like, yeah, I'm going to ask him this and I'm going to ask him
that. I'm looking at the leaderboard. I mean, like, what UK athlete?
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question.
I have it narrowed down to three.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question before asking you. Oh, God, you're really... This is we're on the
air. Is it a male or female athlete?
I tell you more if you answer my question.
Okay, right, cool.
Okay, so are we December 2023?
Yeah.
What is the worst podcast guest that you had done this year?
Oh, this year or ever? This year.
This year.
Wow.
I mean, a lot of your people listen to you, so you know you will lose your integrity if you are not honest.
The worst.
Thank God I wasn't here this year.
The worst I've had this year, the worst ever is easier, to be honest. The worst I've had this year. Nothing actually springs to mind. I'm just going to scroll back and see if I can see something. Nothing really jumps out off the top of my head. I'm back to August now. None of those sucked. I did, and this is no reflection on her. I did... you know, say her, you know, she's a Krieger athlete or an Oslo athlete.
Yeah.
I think. I interviewed her and a lot of stuff went wrong beforehand. So I got the wrong time and we both had the wrong time. So we both missed the right time. We were both late. We ended up having 20 minutes. It was right before I went to work. Her English isn't amazing. It's like good considering, but it's not amazing. So that made it harder. And she was in a hotel lobby and it was, I think I had done like fucking 12 interviews in about 5 days and I just had nothing left. I just was like, I shouldn't. I remember sitting down in the chair and being like, I shouldn't have set this up. Like I don't even want to do this. And then it just was like, that's the tone it took from there on. My worst ever was Easy Muhammad. But my worst this year was probably her.
Okay, but it's no reflection on her. Why, you see, you didn't hit it off.
He didn't want to do it. Like, clearly, he clearly didn't want to do it. He was in like a van with like 12, okay. 12 like youths. They were going to some, I don't know, what do you call it? fundraiser, you know, like one of his scholarship fundraiser type things that he's doing. What's the name of that fucking thing he does? I can't remember the name of the charity that... Anyway, but he was driving across state lines. So like the signal kept like dropping and picking up. So thankfully it was pre-recorded. It wasn't live. And it was like awful. Like he had no interest in being there. He didn't want to do it. He didn't want to... He just clearly... And I was like, I remember thinking at the time, man, you should have just said, I don't want to do this beforehand instead of wasting my time and your time and like just being disinterested. And at one point, there was loads of noise in the back, right? This just was the nail in the coffin. I said, oh, would you mind just like asking them to just keep it down? Like they were just shouting, like chatting to each other really loud. And he was just holding his phone. And I said, oh, would you mind just getting them to keep down a bit? And he goes, he turns around and said, hey guys, can you be quiet for like 3 minutes? And I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, that's all he thinks we have left is 3 minutes. I was like, all right, I'm checking out. Like, I'm done.
It's funny because he's a super nice guy and very funny guy.
Yeah, I'd say it, to be honest, I think he agreed to do it. He didn't want to do it, but he didn't want to let me down. So he should have just let me down. And yeah, I think he didn't know who I was. He didn't care. You know, like
he didn't know who you were?
I know, some people don't. So this is about like 3 years ago.
Who haven't you interviewed that you would love to interview?
I had a list for the year and I haven't actually interviewed any of them yet.
You had a month.
Rich.
You never interviewed Rich yet. Okay.
No, I actually wrote Rich a letter and I don't know if he got it or not.
Okay. That sounds a bit weird, but
yeah, I just put some of my pubes in it. It's fine.
Dear Rich, I just want to let you know that I like you very much.
I drew this picture of you in my blood. No, it was after I saw his one of his kids wearing a Cork jersey, and I mean, I've DM'd him in the past. He never sees it. So I was like, fuck it, I'll write him a letter. And then Chandler Smith. I actually wrote Chandler Smith a letter as well. And he DM'd me and said, I really appreciated your letter.
Okay. Can you define write a letter, please?
You get a piece of paper and a pen and you write. And then you put their address. And then
do you have their email, their address?
I sent Chandler's to Invictus and I sent Rich's to... HWPO.
Yes, exactly. That might be the reason why you never get going to interview Richard.
Yeah. It's a dead duck.
But you might interview Matt.
Yeah, maybe. Is it a male or female athlete? I think I've narrowed down to two.
Male athlete. It's a male athlete.
Okay. Is it Reggie Fassa?
No. So now you fail. So I have the right to ask my own question again. And then you will have the chance to re-ask and so on and so on. You look very stressed.
I'm reading, no, because like Halpin has a list. It's definitely not Dave Schrenke because he's too entangled with JST. Joshua Sharma doesn't live in the UK and I'm pretty sure he's going to go team with Invictus again. Amy Kringle she wouldn't leave her coach that she's currently with. Lucy Campbell is injured. She's not competing. Taylor Howe is a female. And I think she's pretty happy with her current setup. She actually did Mayhem programming before, and so did Reggie Fassa, but only like the blueprint or whatever. Yeah,
which is amazing, by the way. So anybody who's listening to it, Philip does it. Philip Borowski, he's online. He does it. He's very happy, very fit.
At least nobody played porn sounds during your podcast, like it happened 2 days ago during your. Oh fuck! I did not see that. Haley, I don't think I want to see that.
Yeah. You didn't interview Haley Adams?
No. I was DMing her the other day, actually, because she gets some fucking weird comments on her.
DM? Or did you just actually write a letter? It's a different thing.
I wrote it in pen. I scratched it onto my phone and I hit send. Now she gets some weird fucking comments. So I interviewed Haley Murillo and put up a clip of her saying that Haley is like happy and ready to go and, you know, like whatever, like just like I was just like, oh, that's a cool clip, you know, of her kind of announcing that Haley seems ready to give it a go. And people were commenting like the fucking weirdest comments. And Haley messaged me more or less saying, I'm sorry about the comments on that post. Basically, she was like, they create these fake accounts and comment on it. And like, it's bizarre. The comments are fucking weird, nuts. Like one of them said that, oh, she went to my high school and bullied a girl who had cystic fibrosis or something like that. And Haley was like, I never went to high school. It falls apart at the first hurdle. Yeah. It's like, it's just,
you know, when you have the charisma and the integrity like Haley has, people don't have that and they will always aspire to have that. And, you know, envy or jealousy is going to be for many of them, and likely the first thing that they're going to resort to. And it's not the first time that Haley finds herself into the situation. So I'm very happy that she now learned how to manage with them. It's one of my girls. So of course I'm always love Haley.
Did you doubt yourself or doubt Mayhem or anything when she had her kind of burnout stage? Like when she was kind of, or was that, do you think is that personal just to the person rather than we've missed something or we didn't see something?
Can you formulate the question properly, please?
So
just for me to understand it well before I answer.
When Haley suffered her burnout and her, yeah, like when she hit her wall, yeah, do you internalize that as, oh, we missed something, we should have seen something, or we're pushing too hard, or is it just individual to her? Is it just like,
no, I think that it was individual to her. I think that we tried to help as much as we could, but it was something that was up to her to solve, kind of, besides the support.
So then, are you guys aware then? Were you like, all right,
some of us, I mean, I'm a very good friend of hers, and I know what she was going through. And it's funny because even knowing that, I never thought that she would have the guts and the courage to do what she did, how she did it.
You I mean think take it was time kind of like, to I am, leave?
Yes, but the way she did it, you know, this American blonde next door girl who everybody believes that is better than life, and to a certain degree she is better than, you know, larger than life. And I think that for her, it would actually become real when she would say to the world, this is what I'm going through. And now, because everybody knows it, I have no excuses to, you know, stand back and solve it before I keep moving forward. I don't know. I mean, whatever you ask me about her is going to be biased because I'm very proud and I love her so very much that to me she's like a superhero, so I would never be able to say yeah Haley Adams. On the contrary, and I know that she's doing very well because I do have a lot of contact with her, of course, and I'm very happy and very proud that she's doing very well, because the work that she's been doing in order to be where she is now, it takes a lot of, you know, courage, time, guts, everything.
Is she a Mayhem athlete? Like, is she branded?
She trains in Mayhem. So the thing, I know that Haley was here. I know that she talked about me and so on. So I think Haley needed a person who she can fully rely on, and it was going to be just for her. And you know, having this daily talk and bringing her back the joy of training, because that was the problem. And she had lost, she was still training far too much, but I think she had lost the real joy of what she was doing. She was doing because she needed to perform, and she needed a person who made a change for her and help her seeing training, you know, competing from a different angle that she could enjoy it. And that is where she's now, on that environment where, but she's still at Cookville. So, she trains at Mayhem.
What about Lazar then? So he's,
What about Lazar?
He's a like, he's a really funny guy. him and Luca have a really interesting dynamic where, like, they clearly love each other. Like, they're really close as brothers, like really close, because a lot of brothers kind of are brothers, but they're not friends. But those two guys are clearly friends. Like, they're, you know, they really put each other first. Like in Madrid, there was a lot of times where, like, was it that lifting event where Lazar or Luca was asking Lazar, what do I need to lift so that you can do better? And then vice versa, like what, like across the floor asking each other, like what, like, you know, three more kilos or whatever. But they're very different in their approach. Maybe I'm wrong, but you might correct me. They're very different in their approach to the sport, I think, where sometimes it leaks in a little bit, I think, into Lazar. But Luca's focus is like, to be a professional athlete means to earn from the sport and to, you know, continuously earn from the sport, not necessarily at the CrossFit Games or not necessarily at, you know, these big competitions, but at, you know, he goes to the Middle East for 2 months and just earns money for the year, basically. Whereas Lazar seems his main focus is the games. And then he has these kind of ancillary focuses, like he goes to Dubai pretty much every year. He goes to, you know what I mean? He has these like secondary focuses. Is it like, do they view each other, do you think, at like a different level? Is Lazar operating on a different plane to Luca, or is it just that they're approaching the sport in two different ways where...
Well, there's a part of your own psychology that will translate into the way you perceive your life as an athlete, right? And that is where they are rather different. I have had a lot of experience with siblings, Saxon and Spence. Well, I'd never work with Luca, but I've been, you know, it very well. When I'm in Madrid, I would take more care of Luca than of Lazar, because Lazar is very independent. I think that, you know, I think that they're both great athletes, and you know, in different moments of their lives and of their training. And look, you know, and Luca is super nice guy to be with, and a great athlete too. And Lazar has been improving a lot during the last years. And yeah, it's just that they're very different. The way they train, the way they not just the volume, but the way they conceive training and adapting themselves and performing, it's just very, very different. But there's a lot of true love between them, a lot. I remember once, and I say it because it's a beautiful story, hope Lazar doesn't kill me, but when Lazar won the Lowlands 2 years ago, I think it was 3 years ago, I don't remember, when they were in Amsterdam, Luca lost his spot to the games for one spot. And so while we trained that year, you know, leading into the Lowlands, the goal was not him qualifying, the goal was for us to establish him as the lead man in the European CrossFit world. So by being, you know, the champ of a semifinal, that was part of the path that we were looking to go through. And actually, when he won, he came backstage, so backstage or warm up area, whatever you call it, and he kept bumping into tears, because the fact that his brother wouldn't qualify was for him like much more important than the fact that he just won his semifinal. So yeah, they really love each other very much, and they respect each other very much.
Who's the British athlete that's joining Mayhem?
Sorry, I haven't asked anything yet.
I'll just keep throwing it in, and then you can answer it if you want to answer it.
Or yeah, you have two more chances, stuff. And then I ask.
I've two more questions, two more
guess,
like
more attempts, two more guesses. Yeah.
Okay, fuck, I don't know if I can or not. Karen Frey is another, or Freyova is another one of your recent additions to the stable of Facundo.
Yeah. It seems like I, like, you come, you don't come, you come, you know, yeah. No.
You just hand over a little black card with like an F for Facundo, yes, on it. Just like,
no. Yeah. It's actually the very opposite. I met her, I think they told the story, but it's quite a funny story. After last year, Lazar went rogue and he has his foot injury. And then he went to Dubai and had COVID. So it was a very, very rough off-season for him, for Lazar. And Lazar tells me, sometime in December last year, oh, by the way, I'm doing a competition now in Germany. Second week of January, I was like, oh, Lazar, I mean, it's the worst idea at all. I mean, you do five burpees and you're about to have a heart infarct. Don't worry, it's going to be fine, and so on. So I keep trying to convince him. I keep trying to convince him not to do the competition. And so, like 2 weeks before, I called him and said, "But are you sure you want to do it? I mean, don't worry, it's a team workout. And it's a team competition. They are teams of two." And anyway, so
stop reading the comments, Facundo.
Sorry?
Stop reading the live chat. Just focus on your story.
So, sorry. And then we arrived there, and Karin Frey was his partner. And I said, "Boy, this woman is so fit. She's going to destroy Lazar." Anyways, the great thing is that they get along super well together. And of course, she did most of the work. And when the competition ended, I said, "Oh man, I love this woman. I love this woman." And but she had her own coach, and she, I have a lot of respect for that. And then I met her again in Berlin, and then after the games, we talk about working together, and I'm very happy. We went to Madrid together, which she won, and then we went to Rogue, which she was not feeling very well. It was a big pity because I would have liked her to be at her best, but she was not having a great weekend.
What was that? That was like a stomach bug or something, was it?
Sorry?
Was that a stomach bug or something?
No. I mean, she just felt super, super tired, and she couldn't breathe properly. She came tired. And sometimes, human beings, there are weeks where you are really off. And the trip affected her enormously. And if you see her, she's just not, I don't want to do it anymore. But if you see her performance, she realized that she was running out of air, breath every 5 seconds. But I'm very sure that she will have the chance now in Dubai to show how good she is.
Yeah, she's very good at that off-season circuit. Because didn't she win French Throwdown as well just before the games?
Yeah, she won the French Throwdown too.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, she's a crazy... she's kind of like, she's a different build as well. Like, in Madrid, like watching her walk around the warm-up area, she just like moves.
She's very shy. She's very like,
but even just like her, like, she's taller than a lot of the girls. She's like, her posture, fucking thumbs up, her go away, her posture, it only works for me, I think.
Okay, thank you.
If I give two, you get fireworks.
Let's see that. Wow.
Her posture is unbelievable, and she moves like incredibly, like, purposeful but slowly around like the warm-up area and stuff, and then she just fucking goes, and she's like, she is insanely fit. Like, it's no surprise that Miko Salo was her coach, because she has that Miko Salo, like, I will die. Right, the fact that she still competed, that she didn't withdraw from Rogue, right, that she kept going, basically banging her head against the wall. She's got huge potential. When you get someone like her then, who's had a coach and who's had a certain way of doing things and a certain way of, like, who's learned a certain way of doing things that maybe isn't your way of doing things, do you have to undo stuff, or do you just start where they are and say, all right? Or like Jorge, who's been with Invictus for a long time, do you just start where they are, meet them where they are, and gradually bring them to your way of thinking or training or whatever? Or do you just say, all right, they've built up all this stuff, so like Karen, amazing cardiovascular system from like what she's been doing, she's like, she's strong, let's build on this or whatever. Do you just start from scratch with them, or how do you get them to your side?
Well, I have to say that I'm very lucky, because most of the athletes that I have the chance to work with come with, a great job done with other coaches. I mean, Roman with Nick Fowler, and Karen with Miko, and Jorge at Invictus, and so on and so on. So no, I see how much I tend to understand what is the best approach. There are people who need, after this kind of very big change, when you work many years with a coach, and they need this very big break, and just say, no, turn the page and start from scratch. Stop looking at the messages better. And some others are like, oh no, okay, let's make it slowly and let's build it up into whatever we're going to be doing soon. I'm really happy. I'm very happy, Pedro, and I'm really very thankful that I have the chance to work with these people. I'm very, very much. And you know it very well that when they compete, I feel like a father, like a real father to them. I'm there. I'm, you know, taking care from as much as I can to allow them to be at their best.
It's interesting as well because you kind of just reminded me of it when you called me Pedro, because that was in Madrid. You exclusively called me that, and that was the first time where I was kind of like, oh shit, I guess like I actually just don't have my own name anymore. That's just gone.
Sorry.
No, I like don't care at all. Well, I do care. It's nice, like. But it's watching you in Madrid. So there's different kind of coaches. Like I've seen these different kind of personalities when you're there, at the warm up area, or even if you're watching from the stands and stuff, you see there are coaches that are intense. There are coaches that are like, they have, as much as they try and hide it, they have like nervous energy, and they have like it displays itself as like, you know, white knuckling the railings, like, you know, like that they can't just relax a little bit. But you, and I will put John Singleton in the same bracket, as just being very languid, very like relaxed on the outside, at least.
On the outside.
is that because I know I've spoken to him about it, and he said, like, I mean, there's enough fucking nervous energy back there without me adding to it. So like, what, like, as nervous as I might be internally, I need to hide that for the athlete's benefit. Is that the same from your perspective?
It's the same. I mean, Lazar has a beautiful, great girlfriend. Her name is Anya, and she travels very often when Lazar competes, and every time that Lazar competes, Anya comes and she leaves the competition with all my fingers clinched to her hands, because when Lazar is competing, I have a tendency of grabbing her arm and, like, you know, going really strongly stressed into her arm. So she's like, okay, that's enough, please leave me alone, because it really hurts. But at the moment, the athletes need I believe some of them at least need a, you know, someone who stays rational in case there are moments of despair or stress, or that's what we are supposed to do somehow as coaches. So
Can I have one more guess at the athlete?
One, go.
This will show how confident I am in this one.
Okay.
Am I right?
Who is this? Was him?
Dan Tai. I look at you playing dumb.
No. My screen is very, very small. He has a big muscles. He big biceps. Have a question for you now. Well, what is your last meal? Do you know if imagine you're going to death row?
Okay.
Right. What would be your last meal that you have? Death row is like you call it, like the green mile.
Yeah, yeah.
The last night, and then tomorrow you're going to be executed. What would be your last food?
I just want to show you one more thing before I answer that.
Okay.
Just I hope you're able to see this now. Can you see that? This is your page and who you're following. I just want to put that up there.
Can you open it? Can you zoom it in?
Can I zoom it in? Is a good question. I don't think I can. Hang on, maybe I can.
This is my Instagram profile.
I can't. But you're following Dan Tai. I just wanted to put that up on the screen.
You know, I'm not saying that I don't. I'm just saying that I couldn't see.
No, I just want to make myself feel smart.
You should then go to my all the list of people that I'm following, and you might have a couple of English, British or English athletes.
Oh fuck! So I'm wrong then. Philip control, and it didn't work. I have an external keyboard. so I just wouldn't do it.
Okay. So my favorite, because you're getting very slow today, my favorite meal from Crackle Barrel is called, I just had it in my head, a country boy breakfast. So it's a sirloin steak with 3 eggs, over medium. There it is. 3 eggs of a medium, fried apple, and this potato kind of hash brown potatoes and so on. Yeah, very good. So your last meal in this world would be?
Is it now, like currently now?
Like if imagine tomorrow you're on death row. You're like,
all right, then it has to be meat and fruit because that's all I'm eating. So it has to be like.
No, but if you generally a prisoner that you know is going to be executed the following day has a chance to choose. I mean, who cares?
I don't know, Pedro, man.
Who cares about your fitness? You're going to be killed tomorrow.
I don't know if I could let JR down like that. Like I'd feel too much shame. I don't know. What food do I really like? Fuck, I don't know. I always get disappointed by food. I always think like, oh, I really like that thing. And then I have it and I'm like, that was shit. Like I'll be, for about a month, I'll be like, oh, like I haven't had pizza in ages. I need to have pizza. And then I eat it. And as soon as I'm actually consuming it, I'm like, this is just a disappointment. I remember I had, what's the name of that fancy beef that you get to share with someone else? I don't want to say it because it's a French word, so I don't want to say it because I'll sound like a fucking rube if I say it in front of you. Yeah, like Chateau. No, that's a wine, is it? Chateaubriand.
Chateaubriand.
Is that like beef?
Yes.
Yeah, I had that once. I had that once with my wife, like 8 years ago, and there was like beef cheek and all this kind of shit with it, and like you know, it was that. If I could just have that same meal again. That would probably be it. So who's the athlete?
I think I said that you could keep saying, and I would say it. But, you know.
For fuck's sake.
Okay.
You said it was a male, didn't you say it was a male?
Yeah. Is it my helping writing?
Did you say it was a male?
I said it was a male, yeah.
Yeah, because he keeps texting me fucking women's names. So get with the fucking program.
Is that Mike Halpin? Mike Halpin?
Yeah.
Like, he's a good guy. He's very clever.
He's not very clever in this instance because no, he's technically female.
Is he from the UK?
Who? Halpin? Mike.
Yeah.
No, he's from Iowa? No, that's wrong. Somewhere in America.
Iowa is certainly not the UK because if you say Boston or.
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah, no, I'm wrong.
So, how do you see this FitFest competition? Are you excited?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So that's on. You're in Dubai, and that's on in Birmingham, which like could not be more different from Dubai.
I can't believe that.
But it's someone's after guest and hostess. So there's a few like I mean, you guys, people, especially people from America. I mean, Dave Castro.
Careful! You don't want to.
Guillaume Briand, who is French, like not from the UK. So sorry, Cave, but come on, Hosta. No, he is not. He is not from the UK, and Facundo has already coached him. He's from Belgium, and he's currently working with Andrew Hude, who is from Denmark, but Hosta is not from Denmark. I don't think Harry Lightfoot.
Somebody just texted me whether he's Saxon. Actually, everybody knows that Saxon is not.
Yeah,
UK.
Come on. It's all the same over there. Yeah. Ah, for fuck's sake. Bailey Martin is fucking Australian. And I'm pretty sure he's not in Dubai either. So the FitFest is an interesting concept. And I'd be very interested to see how it works because it cannot be cheap. Like it cannot be like they're paying them to go, they're paying them to stay.
I know,
they're paying for their flights. They're paying for them to compete and to stay there. I don't know how that metric has worked. If it's like based off Instagram following, if it's based off like you know, I don't know, status in the space or whatever. But they also have the indoor rowing championships are on, and the British weightlifting championships are on at the same place. And that Athics Games thing, which is basically like rivaling High Rocks, I think is the plan for that. So it's on at the same time in the same place. I'm interested to see what it looks like. I'm interested to see I may say, oh my God, is it wrong? Are you announcing Roman Crowd Cup? Cave has redeemed himself with that joke. I'm interested to see how it goes. I don't know. Maybe I'm being harsh, but I don't know if it'll ever happen again to the level that it's happening this year, because it needs to take in a serious amount of money, you'd have to expect, in order for it to...
Great sponsors that, want to make it happen.
Yeah, but people don't put stuff on, generally speaking, people don't put stuff on if they're not making money. Stuff of that magnitude. Do you know what I mean? The only other things that are put on that lose that much are semifinals at the games. Yeah. But I don't know. Do you still own the affiliates in Belgium?
No.
When did you sell them?
Thank God before COVID. 2018, I think it was 2018. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so your role with so that lessens the load a bit, I guess. But you're coaching those athletes. You're also heavily involved in the LATAM mayhem thing, obviously, because of your links and linguistics and everything else, reputation, everything else down there. And then you do the Power Monkey stuff. You do workshops, seminars and stuff with Rich or with whoever. Does there come points where you're this is fucking too much? Every time I look at your Instagram, you're on a plane or getting on a plane or off a plane. You're going to Dubai now. You're probably going somewhere else afterwards. Is there a point of, okay, I need to actually just coach these six athletes or whatever and scrap all the other shit, or I need to stop coaching the athletes and focus on the other stuff? Do you think that fork in the road is coming, or do you think you'll always be able to keep doing both?
No. No. So far it's going well. I mean, it does take a lot of time and a lot of energy, but it's very difficult to say no when these beautiful opportunities present themselves. It's not easy. I have this year, after just before the game, starting to say no to people that wanted me to be their coach, and I'm very thankful for that, because I know how much it means for a people who decides to make something out of their life in the CrossFit world. But it was the time to start saying no, I can't, and I start doing that. But for the rest, no. I was in South America. I'm going to to Asia very soon, because we have plans. So we do have a lot of great opportunities. I don't know how to call it opportunities, but great things planned for Mayhem International for this year in Europe and in South America and in Asia. So I'm going to Brazil now. So I'm going to Dubai, and then I'm going to Lollapalooza. Then I'm going to Brazil immediately after that, and then to Asia in February. And so far it's going good. So far it's going good. I hope that I can maintain this level of activity at my age. Yes, it's true.
Do you have two kids?
I have two kids and a dog.
What ages? I don't know why I laughed. So
my youngest daughter is 1 year old, just turned one a couple of weeks ago. My older daughter is yes, Philip, you're up to. My oldest daughter is 7 years old.
Oh, I was gonna say six. I was close.
Yeah.
And what about that? Because there's two. It's two kind of different stages of, my daughter she's about to turn four, and she's kind of at the stage now where, I'm sure you're familiar with this, where there's obviously still a gap, but there's more kind of common ground. You can have a joke, and once they get past, I say 3, 4, you can have a bit more banter with them, a bit more fun with them and stuff, and kind of different kind of fun, I guess. But then with all the traveling, with all the mayhem stuff, you're obviously missing chunks of time there. And then the 1 year old, I guess, brings a different kind of guilt with it, because the 1 year old probably isn't as familiar with the fact that you're gone as, say, the 7 year old is more aware that, oh, dad's away, whatever. Does that play a factor as well, do you think?
Yes, it does, of course. But we try to organize ourselves. For example, now I'm going to Wodapalooza for five days, actually. I'm flying to Wodapalooza back on Sunday evening. I'm landing in Europe at Monday noon, in Belgium at least. And on Thursday evening, I'm going to Brazil for another 10 days. And these 3 days that I'm here, so for half day on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and half of Thursday, you know, I could have, it would be super easy for me to go to Miami, to Brazil, and so on. But these are the not sacrifices, but the things that I feel that I have to do, and they're the right thing to do. Yeah, but you know, my 7-year daughter understands very well that it's a job, and so a couple of times she came to me to a competition and saw people asking for a picture or taking, you know, I remember that guy came, can you sign my t-shirt and my shoe? And my daughter was like, oh, my dad is a real star. Who will, you know?
My advice from no experience is to probably enjoy that while it lasts, because the time will come where it's like, oh, sure, God, dad, you're so embarrassing.
I already do. And she loves to watch my YouTube videos. And, you know, and I'm like, you know, but yeah, it has its challenges. But, you know, I'm here because of the nature of my job. I bring them to school, both of them, every day. I pick them up from school every single day that I'm here. I bring them to my daughter. That's a lot of horseback riding. Like 3-4 times a week. So I go there, I wait with her, sometimes in the car, because they don't allow parents to be there and the whole time, or when she jumps, I don't want to see her jumping. I can see a man or a woman putting a 300, 400 pounds barbell above their head, no problem. But I cannot see my daughter jump 1 meter, horseback, like jumping on her horse for 1 meter, get super stressed, get like sweaty, and you know, like
you need Lazar's girlfriend there to
for sure, yeah, Anya. So I go to the car and I wait in the car, like, okay, let's wait for 1 hour. So
she must really like it though, because like why else, like you wouldn't let her do it if she wasn't really keen on it. Surely you'd step in and be like, why don't you just play soccer?
Yeah, she believes that I'm which is part of the ride, a wimp, complete wimp. Like she's like, oh, please, blah, blah, no again. And I think that at this stage I need to be very careful, because she understands that I don't enjoy her doing that, seeing her doing that. But well, I mean, I have to accept it, of course. And
yeah, you don't want to put her off doing it by not liking her doing it, but
she knows that I like most of it. It's just the jumping for me. It's just like super, it's a massive horse, a 7-year-old girl that is, you know, to me, she's like this big. And I know these jumps, they tend to be very violent, actually. It's not, you know, you need to have a lot of strength in your body to support all that motion.
It also only takes one little, I don't want to like compound your fears, but it also only takes one misstep, or like the horse to just be like, no, fuck it, and stop. Like, it, you know, it doesn't take much to, I don't know, have something go wrong, I guess. But yeah, I'm sure she's great. I'm sure she's, you know, I used to do horse riding. And we used, like my wife used to do a lot of horse riding. And she, when we got married, we were in like my home house, and I showed her a rosette and a little trophy I got. And I said, look, I used to do horse riding. She was actually good. And I said, look, I used to do horse riding as well. And the look of pity on her face, she was like, oh, that's his best yard rider. And I was like, yeah, I was the best in the yard. She was like, no, that's like, well done for turning up. That's like, you're not going to get any other prizes, so we're giving you this like participation medal, basically. And I was like, oh shit, I thought it was like, you are the best in the yard. She's like, no, it's that you can move from left to right in the yard, and that's it. But yeah, she was really well. I was the guy that always got, you know, like the fat horse that just farts all the time when you're on it. Like, you know, like that was always whatever horse I was given just seemed to have bowel problems, like consistently when I was on them. So I think that was one of my main like being put off.
I haven't mentioned something, sorry. I'm also working with Saxon Panchik. Yeah, somebody sent it to me before, and then
So you worked with him before?
I was coaching with him. Yeah, I worked with him 2021.
And then he left.
He left me.
And he went to Proven.
I wasn't good enough for him. No, just partly, but not.
he left. He went to Proven. He got his plantar fasciitis or whatever, and he came back. He got his both t-shirt, came back. What about that kind of one then? So you talk about the doubt and stuff. What about that when someone like him, says, "Hey, I need to," tell me if this isn't the conversation, but says, "Hey, I need to take things to the next level." And I think Proven is the place I'm going to do it. Tia will be there. She'll be training, blah, blah, blah. It'll kick things up a notch, get me to where I feel I need to be. And then it doesn't work out. He, got injured, overtrained afterwards, just a series of unfortunate incidents, hurt himself. And then he comes back. Are you is there any part of you that's fuck off? I wasn't good enough for you 6 months ago. And now you're coming back saying let's do this.
No, with Saxon, not at all. Some others, maybe. Maybe, but no. Because so the thing is that with Saxon, there was always lot of friendship through the work we did together. And when there was a time that when he needed a change, it was really clear to us that was the case. And we talk about it, and as friends do, I gladly accepted. I'm not sure gladly, but I accepted that he needed, and it was good for him to have a change. And we talk about it each other. We talk about it with each other, the two of us. Sorry, and then even though he was trained at Proven, we always remain in contact. How are you doing? I remember, he was going to compete, and I don't know what the name of the competition in Knoxville. I don't know, whatever. Good luck. You're going to nail it. Be yourself. Every time that I would see him, and so I think that we always lived with a lot of respect to each other, and not as a coach and athlete only, but as friends. And so when he decided again that he needed a change and we started talking, of course, well, on the one hand, he's a great athlete. So it's not I'm putting on my shoulders the burden of a lousy athlete that wants to be coached, So it's a great, great, great athlete. So I think that many people would love to have the chance to work with him. And then because of the nature of our friendship and our relation, when he asked it, I just made it to be available for him.
So the way that it ended with him initially, the first time, not that it's going to end again, but you know what I mean?
Thank you, Pedro. that
was obviously amicable, and it was there was obviously clear communication of, this is what I need to do, this is why, and okay, it's not like he ghosted you and just suddenly turned up on Proven's Instagram page and you were like, what the fuck is this? Clear communication. And stuff. So has the opposite of that happened with other athletes then, where
to be using this for as a clip that you're going to put in your Instagram channel now?
But has not if you tell me not to, but has has the opposite happened where you're working with someone and then all of a sudden you're like, what the fuck happened there? Where are you gone? Yeah. Or what, you see them popping up somewhere, or you hear them saying, oh, I left it, didn't work out, Facundo this, Facundo that, because it sounded like Saxon was more, I need a change, and it sounds stupid, but that it's me, not you, kind of thing. Whereas, have you ever had the reverse where someone's like, oh, fuck that guy, I'm going to HWBO or whatever?
But you know the answer already, no? I was very disappointed because I really. I said it before. This year, I find myself obliged to say no to some people with a heavy heart, as I said before, because I really appreciate when somebody reached out and said, hey, would you like to be my guidance or my help or, the person who will help me make it happen for me? But I think that it's very normal that people make a change. I said, well, I have this, you know, this lifespan of this time with you, and I learned as much as I could, and then I need a new stimuli, which is really, really understandable as an athlete and as a coach. There are many times where the coaches, stop with an athlete, and everybody believes there's always the athletes that changes coaches, but there are many times where the coach sits and said, hey bro, I don't have anything anymore, because you need to be clever, you need to be inventive, you need to be motivated to create a great program for an athlete of a high caliber. So people have a tendency to believe that there's a change is always the athlete who left the coach, and very often it's the opposite. But it has happened to me, and I was very hurt, because I would have very gladly have a conversation. Hey, it's not working for me, I need a change, and we can still be friends, and I would have, of course, appreciate. I think it's part of human nature, and it has happened to me, yes, but yeah. And luckily, it underlines the kind of, and I don't want to be too harsh, but the kind of person that I have been dealing with now. I imagine after many years of almost daily communication, then you travel, and for whichever reason, and 2 weeks later, you find on Instagram that person changed programs, and you were not aware.
Yeah. Is that an outlier? Is that like a once off? Has every other athlete been different? Like, do you know what I mean? Is it more often than not the case that it's an amicable split? And is that example that you're alluding to, is that one of very few examples like that?
Yeah, I'm very happy to say that was once that happened to me at that level, and it was a pity, because I don't think that kind of breakup or separation represents what we lived for an amount of years. You know, I think that nobody cheated with anybody, so nobody bad happened. I think that I would like to think that I would like always to end things in with the same terms that we live this collaboration together. But yeah, I mean, it's part of the. I have to accept that it's part of the, this world.
Would you ever reach out, or do you think it's just like no point?
Sorry?
Would you ever reach out to that person, or are you just like
no? I have a very bad characteristic of my personality, and I really would love to change it, but I think that at this stage, as much as I am already accepting my voice, I'm accepting that is not going to change. So when I turn the page, I turn the page, and in many situations in my life, I had to do it. I was forced to turn the page, and I developed a very, very clear skill to turn the page and then to, move forward.
Does it annoy you, Annie, when you see them being successful then?
Like no, not them. At all. Not because I turned the page. There's no negative feeling. There's no feeling anymore. I tell you something just to get you an idea. Of course, it doesn't compare. I stopped seeing my father when I was 13 years old. Now I'm 47. Now he passed away, I think, 1 or 2 years ago. And it was turn the page, and people asked me, "You don't?" And I said, "No, I really don't. I don't have this fatherhood of just childhood related need feeling, and I just poof, it's over, and I don't wish bad, but just don't care anymore." Well, this is part of the dialogue today. Just save the best for last, no?
Would you rather tell me who you're talking about there, or would you rather tell me who the athlete is?
Because to be honest, I'll be very. I mean, maybe it's not the correct politically correct answer. No, because it just doesn't, mean anything for me anymore. It's just and it will be for sure the element of the instrument of a lot of interpretation and this person and that and why you do this and why you do that. And of course, I understand that there are always two sides of to each story. But this is my side and this is what how I see things and how I feel things. And you know, I'm very happy, and that's what I wanted to highlight that before, that I had again the chance to work with Saxon, and I was very happy when I saw him winning. I don't know, the semifinal in Knoxville. I don't remember the name. What is the name of the semifinal in Knoxville? 2 years ago. No, the other one.
Syndicate.
The Syndicate. You know, he was doing there, and he was already working with Proven, which of course I admire Shane because he's a great coach, and I was super happy. Syndicate Ground, yeah.
That's what I thought. I just fucking
sorry,
said
sorry,
that.
sorry. You say it, and Dave Castro says it. There is a bit of a difference. And I was super happy, and I was really proud of him being there. And I remember having texted him before and after the competition because he was so good. But this is the things that I treasure. The other, I'm just answering your question. Mm. They are, you know, things that happen, and one has to endure them and move forward and be happy and contented if you surround yourself with people that are more like you, or at least have the same values. And there's something that at Mayhem is very high, and it's not just the religious values or the faith values, just a lot of respect and a lot of honesty and a lot of loyalty. And I'm very extremely thankful. You asked me, could I do this kind of stressful life and, you know, put into a plane and so on? And I tell you today that if I wouldn't be doing it at Mayhem, I don't think that I would be doing it. Because I feel part of a family, you know, a real, real family.
I suppose you kind of worked your way up through the ranks as well. Like you know what I mean? Like you got a start and then it became the next level, the next level, the next level. And then you've got like whatever fucking three roles in your Instagram bio of director of, director of.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever. Yeah, I think that, you know, Rich is one of my best friends, if not maybe one of, certainly Rich and Hilary Froning, they are my best friends. When I go to Cookville, I stay with them. We live together. I cook breakfast, dinner, and so on. We spend a lot of time and I was very happy that they opened their arms to me, and they opened their house and their friendship and their family and make me feel part of that. And I enormously value that. Enormously.
Has there been a shift at Mayhem where, so like a few years ago, they had like, there was obviously a huge amount of athletes at the games, like Masters. You know, I remember that picture at the registration thing, or maybe it was at outside North Park or something, but there was a shit ton of athletes, all Mayhem athletes. And the kind of point of reference, well, I can't remember the number, but it was like, we've had this many athletes qualify for the CrossFit Games or whatever. But I remember at the time thinking, like, there's not a lot of coaches like in Mayhem. And then now you've brought in, so like Jake has joined. So you've got Jake, you, Dom has joined. Like, just has it been a conscious effort to kind of bring in more coaches?
Well, we, you know, when I started, when I started doing the good people, when I started doing the individual programming, it was clear that a certain level of athletes needed very specific help. And for the amount of athletes that were in our ranks, sorry. So it was a weird sneeze, no? For the kind of athletes.
Anyone that was asleep.
It was actually two in one. It was not enough with me and Jake Lockhart. So we needed to be able to find coaches. And it was the case because, you know, we are very lucky to be surrounded by some of the best coaches on the field.
Foster's really cool. I spoke to him.
Yeah.
I just kind of happened to be standing beside him in that cycling, the team cycling event. And I just kind of got chatting to him. I didn't realize who he was. I was just kind of talking to him.
And Mike McElroy, Dom, Inga, Austin Stack, And they do a great job. So yeah, it changes. And also one of the things is that Rich was training the whole day at Mayhem, and now he's not training the whole day at Mayhem. You know, he has a life, and he is great that he enjoys the time, some of the time that he has with his family, which is what he likes to do, and I'm happy that's the case. So in order to replace one throne, we needed at least 10 coaches, you know, which was the case. But yeah, it's a great place, and I wish really that people would have the chance to, maybe you, Pedro, or whoever, come to visit us at Cookville once and see the work that has been done there. So it's very hard work. It's a lot of, you know.
Yeah, you need to talk to Rory and get him to find it in the budget somewhere, because it's not happening from my end.
Texting him right now.
Do you know what we need? Make it happen. do you know who we need to bring over? Yeah. Well, listen, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Are you shutting me down now?
Well, I asked the question I asked you 3 questions ago, you said saving the best for last. So I
said, No, it's fine. I'm joking.
No, but I know it's like 10:30 or whatever.
Are you excited about the semifinals? Do you already know where they're going to be and what the dates are? Is something being released?
Well, I kind of thought I knew. I kind of thought I knew. And then someone told me that maybe one of my guesses was wrong.
What was your guess?
So I reckon the French, I reckon the French Throwdown is going to be the European one, because I think that's why it moved venue and time, and then everyone's like, it moved time because of the Olympics. But that doesn't explain the venue change to me. It is also true, but fuck them, I'm right. And then okay. I heard, I thought that Loud and Live we're going to do the US West, and Knoxville we're going to host the US East, and that it's going to be Mac, and I thought West Coast Classic, but I'm not sure anymore. But I don't
know. Do you think that Halpin knows? Because he's texting.
Sometimes he just likes to type. Like, if he saw him on Savannah's show the other day, he was just, it was like, dude, stop typing.
Yeah. I'm excited about this this upcoming.
Look, he's even texting his picture. Look,
yes,
true. He's on a podcast live stream.
He has a telephone glued to his left hand, so you know he can actually do exercises. Yeah, it's going to be a great season. I'm very excited about it, and we have a lot of missions to accomplish. And this 2024.
Well, there'll be a few fires to put out first, obviously, because whatever they fucking announce, there's going to be something. They're going to announce something wrong, or there's going to be something wrong. Or
yeah, I know.
Yeah, like I've even heard different. Like, oh, it's going to be here. It's going to be here. In the last week, I've heard 2 different locations. So either they're flip flopping on where they're going to have it, but they still haven't decided yet, or they're putting out like false information, or else someone just guessed and was wrong, basically. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
Okay.
It's part of the fun, though. That's part of the fun of the sport, is that like that. That's, I've heard people complain about the unknown unknowable, and there are certain aspects, like for the athletes and stuff, it'd be nicer if it was a streamlined, like fixed process or whatever. But from my perspective, I like the fact that this time every year we're like, what's going to happen? Like we have something to talk about for like 2 months.
We do know that for certain regions, like in the States or Europe, we're going to have less athletes. It's going to be 40 instead of 60. Yeah. For South America or for Asia or for Australia, it's going to be better because it's 40 instead of 30.
Mm-hmm.
So the field is going to be very, very different. And then we are waiting for news.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Well, listen, thank you for coming on. Good luck with your safe travels to Dubai. And we'll see you in Wadapalooza. I thought you weren't going, so that's great. I got to see you there. I need you to do something, and I need to promote something. So Wednesday is the second episode of Around the Whiteboard. So I started this debate show. And the last episode is currently the 4th most viewed show that I've done. So the only way is down from here. So I need people who watched last week to come back and watch this week. So this week we have Can Porter, fuck, who else is on it? Cam Porter, Chase Ingram, and Matt Torres. So the three of them are going to debate three topics, and they get points and whatever. There's a winner selected. Hiller is already through to the semi-final, so the winner of tomorrow or Wednesday's will go through to the semi-final to face Hiller, and then there's one more the week after with Lucy Campbell, Bella Martin, and John Singleton, and the winner of that will go through. And so that's on Wednesday at 8 p.m. my time, yeah. 9 p.m. your time, or noon PST, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's like 7 a.m. for Cannes in Australia. Now, what I need you to do is you need to pick somebody in the comments. So you can, I think you can scroll up as well through the live chat, can you? Okay. So I need you to just pick someone.
Okay.
Anyone, and they're going to win a year's membership to SMTP.
What is SMTP?
Self-made training program.
Okay. So someone that I was going to say something that I don't like. No, I will pick my friend Ramble.
Oh my God, Taylor's going to find that hilarious. Okay, so Rambler.
I have a question for you. Last one. If you could only from now on hear or see one podcast, and you will not see again any other podcast, only one of the ones in the CrossFit world, which one would you keep watching?
Sivan.
Okay. Thank you very, very, very much.
Thank you. I appreciate
your
time.
And I'll be seeing you in Miami.
Yeah. I love you, man. You're a good dude. Really nice spending time with you. It's always a pleasure. Thank you.